webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Thank you, Robert Moore. Really, thank you. And greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It is Hump Day, Wednesday, January 11th, 2012. The only January 11th, 2012 in the history of humanity. Welcome in on Gospel Revolution Webcast Wednesday. Glad to have you along for the ride. Glenn Klein online, live right now in the Bay of the Holy Spirit studios. Just a few short feet from the very talented and handsome Sean O'Halloran, poised and ready to take your calls this evening. If you're listening and it's 8:45 on the east coast of the U.S. of A., that means you're listening live, wherever you're listening from. And we cordially invite you to call early. Cannot stress that enough. We have been, frankly, running out of time because folks sometimes wait too long. So get on the horn if you want to talk to us tonight at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. That's the worldwide number. Or you can call us toll-free in Canada, the U.S. at 800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. That will get you in online with yours truly and the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, the Grand Poobah, the most high and holy reverend, the Kentucky Colonel, the teacup poodle, the false Christ, perhaps his most proud title of the Gospel Revolution. Let us go across the Gulf of Mexico all the way to the home offices of said revolution to Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Greetings, you beautiful human.
Greetings, you beautiful human. Mikey, how are you this evening?
I'm good. You know, I really am. I am proud of that title because if everybody knows I'm the false Christ, they'll know that I represent the real one.
Well, they may not know that. But I can say this.
Eliminate one at least.
Well, if there is a false Christ, that must mean that there is a true Christ.
Absolutely.
And we, ladies and gentlemen, just happen to be in the business, but it's more than business. Although it is our business, we are busy with it. There is a busyness to it, no doubt about it. But it is our passion. It is our heartbeat. It is our just joy to be able to share with humanity that there is truly a Christ, a Messiah, an anointed one, somebody that actually did pay the price of sin for the entire planet, past, present, and future.
And all other Christs are false Christs.
Exactly. And the ironic thing, of course, is once you realize that you are one of the other people, whether it be a false Christ or one that acknowledges the true Christ, you realize that everyone, Michael, is as righteous and perfect and holy in the sight of the Almighty as Christ himself. That's a pretty powerful company to keep.
Well, now, isn't that the whole thing about Christ? People use him as a swear name, Jesus Christ. They use it in just about every possible environment. And of course, in every language, but to really understand what the Christ is about, and that concept has unified the entire planet together, has literally buckled up into one new entity. Didn't just take us and bundle us together like a couple of hot dogs strapped together. But instead, literally made a brand new creation to where that there's not two separate entities tied together or one pushed down inside the other one. This, even though we can use the term in Christ or us in Him or He in us, there's only descriptive terms that we can use. But the reality is that there is just one new entity, a God-man, a man-God, whatever you want to call him. I really don't care. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Right. And I cannot stress enough to you, beautiful humans, when we say one entity, we really mean one entity. There's no separation between man and God. There's no separation between man.
That's the whole Christ effect.
That is the Christ effect. What a beautiful way to put it. All right, we're done. That'll do it for us tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
It was nice talking to you.
It's always good to get saved. Hallelujah to you. As Jacques Bernard would say.
Brother Jackie, what are you doing tonight, Jackie?
Well, Jackie may be listening with the very gorgeous Billy Thompson there.
And Billy, of course.
In their new digs together in the Huachuca City, Arizona area. However, taking us up on our request to call early and often, let us go north of the border now to our dear friend. We haven't heard from him for a little bit, but we're so glad to hear from him tonight. Please welcome online Mr. James Gustafson. James!
How are you tonight?
Oh, my. Hi, James.
Hi.
James, will you be in attendance when Michael comes north of the border at the end of the month?
I am planning to be so, yes.
That is fantastic. Of course, Michael going to Calgary. Mikey, get your long johns on.
I am ready.
January 27th, 28th, and 29th in Calgary, Alberta.
I'm just wondering if you gave me my title yet.
You know,
did you claim one, or were you going to appoint one?
No, I told you what it was.
Oh, what is it?
A parasite.
Oh, the parasite.
Oh, that's right. That's right. What a lovely title. James Gustafson is the parasite of the Gospel Revolution, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm proud to announce it. And I guarantee you, within moments, that will be added to the homepage. Jeff Robertson busily. Going on to GospelRevolution.com and editing as we speak. All right, James, why a parasite of the Gospel Revolution?
Well, I told Mike that a number of years ago that I was going to let him do all the work and I was just going to draw from the sustenance.
That is exactly what you told me.
And I have, although if you saw my last email from Mike, I don't know, I just replied to one here, and I don't know if you get it or if Glenn does.
I eventually get them, yes.
Okay.
But I haven't seen yours just yet.
Okay, that was the one where this past weekend I was up to where my brother lives, and to oblige them, I went to their church on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I couldn't take it. That was the weirdest thing I've ever been into in my life. And they're all into these dreams and visions, you know?
Oh, yes.
Well, you know, the pastor had a dream, and that's all he preached about was his dream.
And what was his dream, James?
The dream was that he had a cap on, and the wind blew his cap off. And so he wanted to know what the significance of that was, and so he said in his spirit came these words that God was going to blow the top off his presence, I think it was, and that he was going to cover the northeast of Saskatchewan with his presence.
Well, I got the interpretation to that.
Yeah, pardon?
I know. I just got the interpretation to his dream.
Well, I'd like to hear it.
The interpretation to his dream is, you live in Saskatchewan. You're going to get your hat blown off.
That's exactly what I thought, too.
Not only that, but you live in Saskatchewan, and your hat has been blown off.
I hear you.
I just brought up your email, James, and you said what really surprised you was that your brother had no interest in hearing the gospel that you explained to him. But your son and daughter-in-law, or his son and daughter-in-law, were at the home and heard your discussion, who are missionary to the Indians in the area, and said it was worth considering.
Yeah.
What? And you said you did not get the same type of hug from your brother when you departed.
Well, his comments were that this could be the thing that puts a wedge between us. And because the way he believes and the way I believe, the way that I explained to him are so drastically different that he felt that would be what it took to put a wedge between us. And you know, from that on, it wasn't as friendly.
And how did you feel about that?
Well, you know, if you had to be there, because you know, I started out by saying that the pastor of that church used so many scriptures out of context that it was just about to the point where I stood up and said something.
About blew your cap off, didn't it?
Pardon?
About blew your cap off, didn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, it did, and I don't know why people can get away with that. You know, I said to my brother, I said, how do you let them get away with that? I mean, there was nothing in that. You know, just about as there was just nothing in it. It was just empty. It was such a mess. Well, I don't know if he was defending the pastor or defending his beliefs, but we got into quite a heated discussion. And so, you know, that's, but really what I, the point that I tried to get across to them was that, through the death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus has made us righteous. And that's the message of the gospel: righteous, holy, and perfect. And that I couldn't think of the word imputed, if you can believe it. So I kept saying the word made, and he said, no, he made a provision for us to be righteous, but he didn't include everyone. And so that's where our discussion went. And so then after I got out, driving down the highway a little while, all of a sudden the word imputed hit me, and I texted him back, and I said, the word I was looking for was imputed. But he just doesn't, they just don't accept that at all.
Well, there's a whole world that doesn't, James, but that doesn't mean they're not going to get it.
So anyway, you know, as I'm driving, I'm you know, I use, about the time that I wrote that email about a parasite, you guys were talking about it's time to grow up.
Yes.
And, yeah, I just got done writing it, and I thought, you know, I hope this doesn't mean that I got to start growing up here.
And, James, you don't got to do anything.
Well, no, but you know what I mean. And
no, you don't. You really don't have to do anything, James.
But it's time for some of us to grow up.
Well, here's the thing: we are grown up. We just don't know it.
Okay.
And see, and when Michael says you don't have to do anything, he really means that. There's a wonderful post in Facebook tonight, James, from a gospel revolutionary in Wisconsin named Doug Meisner.
Uh-huh.
And he said, because the truth is, it doesn't really matter who I used to be. It's all about who I've become.
Right.
And there is a scriptural and a new covenant way to understand that. We can hear that. But another wonderful gospel revolutionary in Georgia, Matt Perry, chimes in on the comment page on Doug's Facebook. He says, this is from Matt Perry, he says, knowing who you are puts you in your place, and the power that precedes destroys that previous false image. See, we really are grown up. We really are sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
Karen Butler, a gospel revolutionary from California, says, You are who you always were. but now you've uncovered and discovered it. See, all this is an uncovering, Michael. It's an unveiling, and there is nothing for us to do except the only thing we have to do and have it's uncovered for us. The only thing we have to do is just keep thinking and talking about the gospel like James did with his brother.
Yeah, exactly. Just the discovery process is what we're talking about in growing up, is that as you discover these things, honestly, the way that we deal in this life does begin to be affected. And, the old things we used to hang on to for consolation or comfort in some spiritual way, they really do. I mean, it comes time, you know. It's just like when we stopped confessing our sins. I mean, goodness gracious, I remember the trepidation with that. And that and then the other dozen things that followed after it and before it, they are, they're being put aside. So,
you know,
definitely understand what you're saying.
And not only that, but we understand, of course, what James went through and is going through. Everybody in the Gospel Revolution has shared it with a loved one or a close friend or a former church goer can relate. That, you know, we have a lot of fun with the gospel. We have a lot of fun in our discussion about religion and Christianity, Michael. But sometimes in the Gospel Revolution, you got to go in the trenches, and it's not easy.
Yeah.
Well, as I was driving away, I really had a tremendous, like, good feeling about how I kept my composure and how it seemed like when especially my nephew and his wife had questions, it seemed like I came up with answers or suggestions. And I was pretty pumped, but when the reality of it hit later, and even yesterday or Monday, I have never, ever in my life ever seen my brother like that. How he was so worked up. I mean, so worked up. And I, that wasn't my intention. And I couldn't control it. Like, I couldn't stop it after it got going. It just, it just kept getting worse and worse. And I thought I was going to be out on my ear, but...
Well, that's good that you weren't. Because Michael, you've experienced that before. You've been thrown out of places.
Yeah, a couple of times. It's particularly tough though when it's your family, and I certainly have experienced those walls with some family members to this day. They don't even talk enough for me to even know exactly why. But with a brother in particular, actually, James, same thing.
Yeah. You know, the reason that I used the word parasite was, from what I know about parasites, they keep digging and digging until they get to a blood vein.
Yeah.
And so they draw they draw right from the blood. And I used to, I think I've said this before, but it's been the best thing ever happened to me. We were in Mike, if you remember it, I don't remember if it was Sylvan Lake or Edmonton. And a guy was trying to, a young fellow was trying, I think he was a youth pastor or something, and he was trying to trip you up on some of some Bible passage or whatever. And as gentle as you can be, you said to him, sir, what I suggest to you is that you put your Bible away for at least 2 years. Do you remember
that?
Sounds
like something I would say.
Do you remember saying that?
I don't remember it. I remember something like it, but tell me the story. I want to hear it.
Well, that's about all I know, except that I did that. If that guy didn't, I did.
Wow.
And then my sustenance or my life source came from hearing your voice either by the sessions in Calgary, or on the CDs or the tapes.
Right.
And so that's why I felt like I was a parasite. End of story.
Well, you just turned a parasite into a very productive creature, for sure.
No doubt. And But, you know, the thing is, while you did put your own Bible away, James, obviously you were still hearing scripture verses and Bible verses, and most importantly during that time, and now with the added arsenal of the webcast, a continual ongoing thought process about the gospel.
Well, I hear you. And you know, the thing that Mike always does when he teaches is he reads line upon line, verse upon verse, in context. And I don't know if you remember this either, but in the early days in Calgary, I don't know if you remember when I came up to the podium, and because I couldn't believe that what you were reading was actually in your Bible. And I think it was in Ephesians. And I didn't have a Bible with me, so I came up to kind of look over your shoulder to make sure you...
Wait. You came to hear a Bible teacher without a Bible?
Well, there's a story behind it. I didn't even know Mike was there.
Oh, okay.
We were in the restaurant, and we were in for a business meeting, and he walked in, and...
Oh, that's when we hadn't seen each other for a few years.
Pardon?
Was that when we hadn't seen each other for a few years?
Yes.
That was at the Holiday Inn in Calgary on the McLeod Trail.
Right.
Yep.
And Mike comes over and he says, well, I'm so glad you guys came to my convention. And I said, what convention? I hadn't seen you for many years.
That was a bizarre trip because this is in Calgary, Alberta. James lives in Saskatchewan.
Yeah. And we were going shopping, actually. I had my daughter and her friend and my wife with us, and we were going shopping. Well, immediately, I said, you guys go shopping. I'm going to this meeting. I've got to hear this. Well, then, that's when, you know, that was kind of, well, I don't know that it was the beginning of the message of grace, but for you, or, you know, teaching it, but... I think in Ephesians somewhere it says, you know, it talks about fallen from grace.
Right.
Okay, well, that's the one that tripped me up. I couldn't believe those words were actually in there.
Oh, yeah, and that falling from grace was trusting in the law, yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't have a Bible, so I thought, well, I, you know, and there was, the movie was out about fallen from grace. There was, you know,
yeah,
a lot of...
Right.
You know, and so I thought, well, I have got to actually see that it's there. And so I walked right up to the podium and looked over your shoulder, and sure enough, there it was. And
that parasite getting up there.
So,
yeah, that Fallen from Grace movie, of course, was the Jim and Tammy Faye Baker story.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I never ever saw that movie, but
well, that's good because it really was not a very good movie. But nonetheless, the term "fallen from grace," Michael, is a term that people hear all the time in our popular culture, and it's usually linked with somebody who got caught doing something. And
yeah, that's one of those points, and the reason it was so impacting to James that day is because. That was one of those many places of, you know, just reading in context that changed an entire Christian paradigm. And that was one of them, falling from grace. That impacted me so much. I remember years before that, finding the verse which I had relied on so much, you know, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And I would tell people, you got to study. That's the reason I study my Bible, is so that I can be approved of God. And once the concept of reading in context got through to my brain, I remember reading through that verse, and this was years before that, James. And it said, I read it, and I thought, my God, it don't even say what I say it said. And I was reading it when I taught it all of those years. And it says, study to show thyself. Wait a minute. When you study, it should be showing yourself. You're going to find out anything in any writings. If you find out anything, according to Paul, when you study, you should find out that you are approved of God, a workman that has no need to be ashamed. So yeah, those things were the like the magic keys to the gospel revolution. And
they were, and that one that you just referred to, I was just going to mention it before you did. That was one that probably changed my whole idea, or the whole way that the entire way that I looked at reading things.
Yeah.
Maybe I was reading things not correctly, not putting the emphasis on the right
syllable.
Yeah, I know.
You weren't putting the emphasis on the right syllable.
Yeah,
it's been a great 20 years, hasn't it, James?
Yes, it has.
You know, I was just thinking, it would be so fantastic if we had, like, archival footage of these meetings. And, James, there is a documentary out right now on the 1972 Canada-Soviet Union hockey series.
Right.
Have you seen it?
No, but I heard about it.
Oh, bro. You have got to see that thing. It is so for everybody who's a sports fan or a history buff or a hockey fan, especially beautiful humans north of the border, you want to see this documentary. It's called Cold War on Ice.
Yeah,
It is really, really fascinating and beautiful at the same time. I wish that we had archival footage like they had from 1972, although we weren't playing in front of the entire world, the Gospel Revolution, but we need these stories, James. That's the bottom line. We need to hear these stories. There is now, Michael, a significant history behind this Gospel Revolution.
There really is, and very much a part of that very significant history and involvement in the ministry that I had before the Gospel Revolution ever started. And it was laced with grace. I think the thing that made me successful in the Word of Faith movement, which James was a part of, a Word of Faith church that actually sprang out of my meetings there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been there several times, and pretty much as a result of those meetings, those meetings were explosive all over Canada. I know we stopped at one little church somewhere I just don't even know. I don't know if it's Saskatchewan or Manitoba, but the little town was like a town of 200, the total population. And the church that we held the meeting in, we had almost 300 people in the church building out in the middle of a prairie in the middle of nowhere. But that was pretty typical back then.
Was that Pangman?
What?
Was that Pangman?
It could have been. I know that name now that you mentioned it. But that church sat right in the middle of the field. There was no house or anything around it. There was no town, nothing.
Okay, then. No, I don't know why. But I did go one time to, I think you were the speaker at Pangman, and the church was packed right out.
I remember the name Pangman. I don't know why, but the meetings were packed, and parking was difficult, and people couldn't get into the meetings. But it really was a result of adding grace to the Word of Faith movement, and that's all I was doing. It was adding grace to the Word of Faith movement. Of course, I had no clue that a very surgical operation of the scriptures was going to completely remove me and the gospel itself right straight out of Christianity, but that's where it went. And very happy for the experience. It's been a trip, I'm telling you. And I do appreciate, James, you being a part of the history of this, and we are trying to begin to archive as much of this history as we can. Because it's, history is important. I'm a huge genealogy buff, and I like knowing why things exist and where they came from and why they came there. But Canada is such a huge part of this gospel revolution, and the very church there that James was a part of, then of course there was rumors and rumors of wars and everything else, and the very church that kind of sprang out of my meetings there, I was no longer welcome to anymore. And James was on the with an elder, is that right?
Well, yeah, I can't remember now. After a while, they split us in two. So some of us were deacons and some were elders, but I don't remember.
You didn't know whether to elder or to deacon.
Well, now, James, you have a new title. You're not an elder or a deacon. It has been confirmed by the Secretary of Defense, Jeff Robertson, that you are now, and God bless you, the parasite of the gospel revolution. It's on the website. It's official.
Okay.
All right. Well, I got to tell you, I'm a little jealous that you guys will be, you'll be all hugging and stuff in a couple of weeks up there in Calgary. And so, yeah, warm it up there for Mikey a little bit. Okay, James?
You know what? Well, I can't do that, but I tell you that I am really looking forward to it. And you know, the second last webcast, Glenn, I probably listened to that 15 times. I can't even remember what the topic was right now. But that one...
Wait. You're listening... Not this last one, but the one before it.
Yeah.
You listened to 15 times.
Well, I got a new iPod for Christmas, and I downloaded it. And yes, I would say at least 15 times because I couldn't get anything else downloaded for a while. But it wasn't just because of that. It was so good. I don't remember if you. I've forgotten already. I'd have to just brush by it again just to remember what it was. But there was so much meat in that one. And you know what? I think that was the one where you talked to the fellow who had lost all that weight, but I stand to be corrected there.
Oh, yeah, that's probably right, yeah.
Right. The George Howe called from Pennsylvania.
Very, very
when he talked about the fact that when he looks in the mirror, he sees God every morning.
Yeah, that was one. There was a lot of stuff in that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in all of them, and can't recommend that one from 2 weeks ago. Last week's was fantastic. We talked about perimeters a little bit.
Right.
And we talked to Carrie and Grant Miller.
Right.
And this week we've had the privilege to talk to James Gustin from Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Thanks,
it's
James.
Time for me to go.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
James. We'll see you soon.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye.
There's James Gustin, the parasite of the gospel revolution. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're into titles, as any good religious organization is. And you can have your own title. You just email us whatever you want to be called. Whatever title, whatever position you want, it's all the same, you realize. I mean, the Grand Poobah and the Parasite are the same.
That's exactly right.
Just email us your title. You might just get one if you don't. Send it to Jeff at freedom@gospelrevolution.com. freedom@gospelrevolution.com. When we return on this here webcast on this particular January evening, we will be joined by another titled member of said revolution right here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
What do you want to do?
What's your heart say? How many people have wound up married because it was supposed to be the will of God? These are the things that you're all upset about.
What would you like to accomplish, regardless of what age you are? Do you know how many people's lives have been paralyzed by sitting back waiting to figure out what the will of God was for their lives? I hate that doctrine. I absolutely detest it. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
That was just a sample of what Mike Williams said when he spoke at the 3rd Annual Gospel Revolution Convention in Calgary. Mike taught the book of Romans verse by verse from beginning to end, and you will never hear Paul's letter to the Romans taught like this. Connie Nelson told me after attending the convention that it changed her life and she will never see the Bible the same way again. Vic Dobrynin called it groundbreaking stuff, and David Dwyer of Brisbane, Australia said it felt like he had just been through a 10-hour detox program. This 11-hour series entitled The Book of Romans Revealed is available on audio CDs for $88 plus shipping and handling, or you can download it right now for just $44 at gospelrevolution.com. You have to hear it if you're going to believe it.
That's exactly right, Robert. You got to hear it if you're going to believe it. A 10-hour detox program. I like that. And speaking of Vic Dobrynin, who Robert just mentioned in that spot, he is the host with the most up there in Calgary, coming up, January 27th, 28th, and 29th.
I get treated well in Canada.
It's happening at the Carriage House, as is our habit, up there in Calgary there, eh? For information, just go to gospelrevolution.com and call the office. You can call Vic. The number's there on the homepage. And I am truly jealous. I have no problem admitting that.
This is going to be one for the history books. Actually, we are breaking ground on teaching pertaining to the book of Proverbs. We're going to take a very honest look at it, and we are going to try to let it speak for itself, and let the writer of that book speak for himself also, because he didn't just write the book of Proverbs.
No,
and it is going to be. I think it's going to be very interesting. We're going to do something I honestly, Glenn, I thought I would never ever do. And we're going to be delving into the subject of raising children.
Raising children in the way they should go.
Yes.
Train up a child.
Yep.
Spare the rod. Spare the rod, spoil the child.
If you beat him with a rod, he will not die.
Right. And by the way, one thing we do know as the weekend approaches in Calgary, that Michael is entitled, What's Proverbs Got to Do with It? Interestingly enough, one thing we do know going into this, with before a word is spoken, that according to Yeshua, the book of Proverbs is not scripture.
Yeah.
Because we know that he defined the scriptures as the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. Proverbs not in that category. And yet, the book of Proverbs, you know, Christianity talks about the Bible being a blueprint for living, or a game plan, if you will, from God. But really, it all comes down to Proverbs when you get right down to it. And that book, here's a religion that says the Bible is the Word of God and is Scripture. Not only do they not know what Scripture is, but they take one of the passages of the so-called Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, and they make it, they more than lionize it.
Yeah, no doubt. It's it is a big topic, and that's the reason I'm it is going to be one of those historical foundations for the gospel revolution to put this in a proper perspective and put it in a gospel perspective. Really, is what we're going to be doing.
Very excited.
What does Proverbs got to do with it?
What does Proverbs have to do with it? It is the perfect follow-up to the Founders of Christianity series. It's also available at gospelrevolution.com that Michael did last fall here in beautiful Tampa on the teachings of Peter, James, and John. So this is it's just perfectly timed, and you guys are going to love it. And so just we'll be talking about it in the coming weeks, and of course coming after the conference, the Grace Conference there in Calgary. But if you can make it, if you're north of the border, if you're anywhere close, if you want to be. All the information is on the website at gospelrevolution.com. It's Glenn Klein online. It is Gospel Revolution Wednesday night, inviting you to give us a call at 1-800-436-3260, toll-free in the aforementioned nation of Canada and the United States of America. 1-800-436-3260. We have a line available to you right now. Whether you are in North America, you can also call anywhere on the planet. If you're listening live, and it's a little after 9:20 on the East Coast of the U.S. of A., you can call us, too, at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. And now, without any further ado, we already had mentioned him earlier in our discussion with James. Let us go to the Poet Laureate of the Gospel Revolution, all the way in Wachuca City, Arizona. You know him, you love him, we can't live without him. Please welcome online Mr. Jackie Barnard. Jackie!
Hi, guys. How are you?
Jackie.
Hey,
how are
Jackie.
You? How are
Good
you,
Jackie?
Good
to hear you.
Yeah, we're doing very well, thank you.
Oh, I like that we. I like that royal we. We're doing very well. Who do you speak of, we?
I'm speaking of the beautiful human, Miss Billy Thompson, who is sitting on the couch with me listening to this conversation.
I love that.
Hi, guys.
Oh, Billy.
Hey there.
You guys, for those of you who do not remember the story, Jackie and Billy actually met for the first time at the first summit of the Gospel Revolution in Houston, Texas. We had, what, about 17, 18 people there, Michael, at that event in your living room, and two of the folks were Jackie and Billy, and now they've decided to, well, let's just say they've decided to extend the Gospel Revolution to Arizona together.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. My SUV was very much part of that, and so there's many times I get in my SUV to go off to the grocery store or whatever it is I have to do, and I just say, you know, you had a part in this here. So,
you know, that we were talking about the history of the Gospel Revolution a few minutes ago, and this, of course, makes it into the timeline of the history of the Gospel Revolution, the first Gospel Revolution hookup between Billy and Jackie. How's it going so far, Jack?
We're still getting lost.
Oh, there's Billy.
They're still getting lost.
Yeah, see, that's what happened in Michael's SUV, folks. Jackie decided he needed to go to, quote-unquote, for some souvenirs.
And he got one.
Yeah, and Billy just came along, and somehow... Michael's SUV, the GPS did not work for about 3 hours, and what should have taken about 45 minutes, well, we'll let you guys fill in the blanks.
We're filling in the blanks as we go.
Jackie, I know we did not make you speechless, you poet, you.
No, I'm laughing. I can't talk. I don't talk very well anyway, but when I'm laughing, it's really difficult. As far as the call earlier, James Gustafson, my heart went out to him as I listened to him talk, but because I've been in similar situations, and but one thing I've learned is that when you share the gospel with someone, it connects with their heart.
Yeah,
they may suppress it. They may run from it. They may get angry or whatever response they use to protect their mindset. But connected with their heart, it's hard for them to kick against the pricks. And just a word of encouragement to James.
Yeah, you know, that, I think your perception on that really is accurate, Jackie, and even the response. And James would even tell you that was not his brother. I mean, it was like a different person. He even commented that after all these years that he had never seen his brother like this. And that's because, he was getting a response from the unrenewed mind, the brain on religion instead of the heart of his brother. And, it's really amazing, you know, the comment that his brother said that this very well may be the wedge that comes between them, and was indicating that that was in the process of happening. But it's because of the mind. It's not, that is not his heart that is reaching out to do that.
Right. And the other thing that James said was that how kind of impressed or happy he was with his emotional response in front of his brother.
I know that.
And we can so relate to that. I mean,
yeah.
we sometimes when we're around our loved ones and certainly siblings, we revert back to some childhood behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good evidence of the effect of the gospel. When you can respond under attack and under an assault, no matter how heated it was, with calmness and not taking it personally, that's one of the most beautiful things about understanding the gospel, is that it's not personal to us. This is a truth for everyone, and we do not own the gospel. We do not possess the gospel. We are the possession of God. I mean, that's we are the inheritance of God, for goodness sakes. Was that good preaching, Roberts?
That was good preaching.
Yeah, you can just keep going. It's good.
That's it? Are we done?
I guess.
All right, you guys, go back to what you were doing.
I know. Goodness gracious.
Jesus, you guys call a radio show and you're fooling around and stuff. That's beautiful. All right, we love you. Goodbye.
Call back when you got time to talk, okay?
Okay, guys, thank you,
write a poem or something, will you, please? Jesus.
Yeah, go get a room. Jesus.
All right, good night, you guys.
Good night.
Love you guys.
Love you, Billy. Too, bye, Jacque. Oh my God, that's hilarious. I'm blushing a little bit. Which I'll tell you, for me, that's really saying something, ladies and gentlemen.
That is the truth for sure.
Jacque and Billy, I mean, they literally had never, imagine meeting somebody.
No, they'd never met.
That, listen, people are attracted to each other, obviously, but imagine meeting somebody that you actually have a understanding of the gospel at the core of your relationship. That's a beautiful thing, Michael.
That's, yeah, no doubt.
That is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's a very, very heartwarming thing, and we just absolutely are so excited for them, and you know, and all of us that are just, we're just growing. We're just, you know, the understanding is quite amazing, and I'm just really happy for everybody. My heart is very moved by the family, if you will. And it's all good stuff, all good people. There's just not a bad apple in the bunch.
No, it's just, and family. You know, we talk about family as people talk about family all the time. Extended, you know, the American family, or if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, the Packer family, or whatever. But this gospel, it renews the mind, Michael, to the point where we realize that we really are family.
Yeah. Even with people you don't know, just because you just met them doesn't mean you're not family even.
Right.
And but that reality, having already dawned on the heart when you actually meet and you both have that perspective, there is just nothing to keep from having just an amazing connection, you know, just,
you know,
a real heart connection.
I'm so glad that I remembered this. We have so many emails that come to us, and we are, with Sean's permission, going to do an email extravaganza just to go through all the emails. I mean, because we've got a bunch of them. But let me find this one here. Here we are. Okay, we talk about an extended family. This one came in a little over a week ago. He says, "Hi, Mike. I'm a gospel revolutionary in Nakuru, Kenya, and have been keeping up and following your teachings in which you expound upon the scripture in a very unique and true way. I witnessed in my heart that this is the truth of the scriptures as you continue teaching them." All right, so this is from Moses Gachau. Gachau, uh-huh. From Kenya.
Yep.
So he's talking about that he's a gospel revolutionary in Kenya. I think about our dear brother Lee Lau in Hong Kong.
Oh,
and
yeah,
just the oneness that is there with people all over the world, regardless of what perimeters or borders they live within. You guys, you're part of a really, really big family.
Yeah, for sure.
So he asks this question now. "On the issue of the Holy Communion is the one that I want deep insight about, because Christianity has idolized it, especially as a, quote, mystery behind healings. I don't believe that there is something I have to bring from the external to my internal for me to receive any healing. I see it as a work of righteousness. This has brought about division to those who qualify those to partake and those who are not supposed to partake. A lot of confusion emerges due to this communion thing. Kindly address this on a coming webcast on Wednesday. Also, briefly explain the area of Jesus as our intercessor in heaven, because I wonder what he's interceding for me about when he's completed everything on the cross and made me already a complete new creation. Please help me understand. Wish you all the best at the Calgary Confish. I wish I was able to purchase all of your message of the gospel of grace and peace. Thanks for all the newsletters I received from you. When is the book being put into market? I long for a copy. Yours, The Righteous and Holy, Moses Nagata from Nakura, Kenya. First of all, Moses, you now have a Gospel Revolution title since you titled yourself The Righteous and Holy. So I'm forwarding that to Jeffro Robertson right now. So we have a Kenyan representative now on our board of whatever the board is. All right, there's a lot there, Michael. First talk about the so-called Holy Communion, the sharing of the bread and the wine.
Well, it is it's a ritual, and the implications it's pretty much been looked at upside down, just like study to show thyself approved. If we're to take this ritual of juice and bread, it is supposed to be to remind us that all of these things are true already. I have not partaken of communion, so to speak. I feel like that this is communion to me, and it is a constant partaking of the body and the blood of Jesus. This is reality. And then, of course, you get to Catholicism with that, and, of course, they believe in transubstantiation, and they believe that it actually turns into the physical body and blood of Jesus. And so there's a lot of craziness out there about it. It's really sad to me when people are evaluated. I know I've been in churches where that they made sure that people understood who could and who could not partake of this little ritual they were going to do. It's just a lot to do about grape juice, you know. I know for those who are entangled in it, that certainly is not going to be an acceptable answer to them, but that is the reality. It's just a lot to do about grape juice. And there's nothing more to it than that. It's just like with baptism, it's the very same thing. I can participate in any of these if they are an affirmation. I can participate in any tradition whatsoever. But if any of these traditions, if they are bringing you qualification with God, you know they're not the gospel. We can turn anything into a gospel perspective, whether it be baptism or communion or whatever it might be. You could come up with a ritual, and my goodness, I'm sure there could be a gospel angle on it because the gospel is woven into nature itself. So. But yeah, you know, for Moses, you know, I'm really sorry that around your peers that this is even an issue with the magnificent gospel there, and they're arguing about grape juice. That's just how I see it.
And what about Jesus as our intercessor, ever making intercession at the right hand of the Father? What does that mean?
Well, the term intercession, of course, that is another one of those terms that we have because one verse mentions the intercessory prayer. We automatically assume that Jesus is praying at the right hand of the throne of the Father. But the term intercession just means to just to pass between. And Jesus is that constant. His presence is the intercession. And of course we're all one, so this constant intercession for us is simply the facilitating of that which has already been accomplished. It is just the communication and the commune, if you will, between God and man and Jesus of that which is already validated by the cross.
Right, it's just another way to represent the new heavens, the new earth, the kingdom of God, which is inside the oneness, as you talk about. Yeah. I mean, there's even the communion itself is just another way to look at it or to make the brain think about it.
Absolutely, and baptism is the same thing. I mean, I don't know why they followed through with it at all. I honestly believe they are mostly carryovers from the old covenant. even baptism,
especially baptism.
Yeah, absolutely. The doctrine of washings actually is what Paul called it in Hebrews chapter 4. And he said we were supposed to leave that behind, that was one of the doctrines that Jesus taught. Jesus did teach baptism, but he said to leave it behind. And could I participate in baptism? I sure could. You know, I just don't have any lines like that is going to cause me to not participate. Now, the one thing I am not going to do is participate in something that says that this is what verifies that, not verifies, but this is what qualifies you to be righteous and acceptable. And without baptism, you are not qualified. You're not accepted. You're not blessed. You're not anything. As long as someone wants to do something just as an outward expression of that which is already true, I'm game. If you want to light a candle and say he's the light of the world and turn the lights down, let's join hands and sing Kumbaya, I'm fine with it.
But as soon as you start misrepresenting the work of the cross,
yes.
As soon as you start doing what James experienced at that church,
yeah.
That's where we would find it offensive. We may say something, we might have a Scott Johnson church raid, or we may not, depending on our mood and the amount of alcohol we've consumed. But we would find that offensive, much more offensive than going to a hockey game or into a bar or even into an exotic dance club. I mean, the perversion of the scripture that is about Christ is about as offensive a thing as one could possibly experience.
Well, it's kind of like, when we were having these great debates about the law and people were, I remember sitting down with at least three pastors. I know there was one Presbyterian, there was a couple of these were very scholarly pastors. These were all men who had gone through seminary and very, very well educated. And they, one of them, in the process of our conversation, there was three of them and one of me, and we were sitting in the lobby of this hotel, and had one of those how dare you moments and said that the law was the very expression of the character and nature of God. And I remember I came up out of my seat. It was a reflex. Maybe now I could have controlled it at the time. I was no controlling it. My body just rose up out of the seat, and I said, I responded to him. I said, how in the world can you possibly sit there and say that the law is the expression of God's character and nature? And, of course, we were verse battling a bit, and I told him that Hebrews said that Jesus was the express image of God's person, and to say that it was the law. But I told him, I said, if we're going to add a law then to grace, then let's make sure we add the drop of the blood of a goat to the blood of Jesus, because there is no difference. If you add law to grace, you might as well add the blood of a goat to the blood of Jesus. Oh, no, we would never do that. And I told him, I said, you're doing exactly the same thing by adding law to grace.
Exactly.
You might as well add the blood of a goat to the blood of Jesus.
That's awesome. Well, we know that you've gotten a little bit more say between that particular point of the Gospel Revolution history and right now. And, speaking of Gospel Revolution history, Moses' last question is, when is your book going to market, damn it?
Well, we have all the hope in the world that this is going to take place soon and very soon. We could almost make a Christian song out of this.
It's going to be this year, Moses, and everybody else. So just stay logged on. And Moses, I know you're listening. So if you'll email Jeff at freedom@gospelrevolution.com, we will make sure that you get a signed copy right hot off the press there in Kenya. So just email us.
Yeah, for sure.
At freedom@gospelrevolution.com. And thank you so much. Let us hear from you frequently. We're looking forward to your title. Speaking of titles, we have another title to report here on the Gospel Revolution webcast. Hearing all the way up there in Manitoba, maybe he'll make it down to Calgary, we have the new Minister of Finance And you know he's Canadian because he's calling it the Minister of Finance. Give it up for Howard Wirch, ladies and gentlemen. And he's not with us online. We'd love to hear from him. But he says that it was great hearing from his neighbor to the west, James Gustafson. Oh, and then he says they are planning on coming to Calgary.
Oh, awesome.
So Howard and Manda Wirch.
This is really paining you, isn't it, Glenn?
You have no idea. Howard and Manda meet me in the hallway of the Marriott, right? There in Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah. The first moments of the Gospel Revolution Convention number one with a shirt that they have custom made. They had them made for themselves as well that said, "Greetings, you beautiful human." And it had a picture of an alien on the front of the shirt, and it was a beautiful thing. I love that. All right, Howie, you are the Minister of Finance.
Oh, we love you guys, too.
And in case that one was taken, he gave an alternate title of the Minister of Foreign Affairs. So that portfolio, ladies and gentlemen, is still available, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, because Howard Wirch is now the Minister of Finance, which means you can send all your checks to Howard Wirch in Dauphin, Manitoba, and he will forward them to the Gospel Revolution. All right, that's good stuff. Speaking of the Gospel Revolution, as we do every Wednesday night, let's go to another revolutionary that we, again, spoke earlier of in his sharing on Facebook. Please welcome online the legendary, we're not exactly sure of his locale right now, but from the great state of Georgia, please welcome online Mr. Matt Perry. Matthew?
Hello.
Matt!
Hey, Matt. It's just a legend in the making right here. Yep. I heard you mention me, so I had to say, hey.
glad you did. Dude, the stuff that's been coming out of you on Facebook has been amazing.
It's beautiful.
And one of the, we read some of the stuff earlier. If you guys are just logging on now, listen to the archive. But one of the great things that you have done is you have transposed Robert Moore's intro that he took Mike's words and one of the commercials too, and seeing the words in print, it's pretty powerful, pretty great stuff.
I'm glad to just share my heart and be a part. I love everything that's going on here. It's been a long ride, and it's nowhere near being over, much less even being started, but.
Bro,
I'm glad to be on board.
I gotta go to Facebook here because, guys, please bear with me, and we might cut out a little bit because when I go online during the webcast, sometimes we have a little bit of some static and stuff. But I gotta read this one. Hold on, it's happening.
Previous statements have to be reassessed.
Here we go. There's so much good. You guys, if you're not getting either the e-newsletter or you're not on the Gospel Revolution Facebook, please do both of those if you're online. Well, if you're listening, you're online, so for goodness sakes. The e-newsletter comes out about once a week, sometimes twice in one week, but just go to gospelrevolution.com, and right at the top right side of the homepage, you can sign up for the e-newsletter. And I am searching for Matt's comment, which I loved oh so much.
I got one right ready for you, I mean, if you can't find it.
About the mess?
You want to... Mess? Oh, I don't do meth.
No, which hold
oh,
on.
Meth, yeah.
The meth. Read the whole thing, where that all started.
Well, let me play your game and log on and like we all are.
Okay. Matt was at the second Gospel Revolution Summit in Tampa, and that was a good party.
And I have to credit the great man, Richard Moll, who sent me there.
Yes.
My dad did his part, but it really wouldn't have been done without his help. And
Richard Moll.
There's an afterglow, and there's a constant learning that comes after it. So, I'd rather go there than Disney World.
You would rather go to the Gospel Revolution Summit than Disney World.
Yada yada.
That's not right.
I wouldn't necessarily choose that first off, but looking back, that was the best thing for me, and I'm looking to go again.
Well, we loved having you, Matt. It was awesome.
All right, which is the where is the post?
You have it right in front of you.
I don't have it. I'm looking for it. This is what you call great radio, ladies and gentlemen. There's so many good things on the Facebook. Here we are. Okay, I got it. This was in the wake of Mike's letter that was entitled "Senses That Make Sense," which you can hear or which you can see on the Facebook. You can see it at gospelrevolution.com. But there were so many great comments, and you guys know how Facebook works. People click like if they like it, and there's just a ton of people that have liked it, including Carrie Reader Whiteman and Randy Bailey and Glenda Harrington. So Jackie Barnard says, "Oh, Michael, this saves me. Razor sharp and laser clear.
The entry."
And then Matt Perry says, "We are you, Michael. And you, us, all one. God bless our crazy mess." we lost Matt, but it's been a bit of a mess, Michael. But it's God's mess. I'll say that.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, when the goodness gracious, over all of these years, it has been an amazing thing to watch. And the accusation that this could not be of God because it brings in confusion and everything gets messed up. And I honestly cannot count to you the number of churches that literally closed as a result of my teaching the gospel in that church. Whether it was from them rejecting it or accepting it, either one, they wound up closing. And I just don't know of anyone in the ministry that would be able to say that there are many churches that they've spoken in that as a direct result of them speaking there, the church is closed. This was not a goal. I've never told somebody not to go to church. I obviously, being in their church, I was being gracious to them, but as these things came out, they literally had to be shared. But so I've lost my point here. What was the I'm still trying to find the post on
no,
and I'm not even on my computer.
No,
my
we're talking about this mess. God bless this mess. And here's the thing, and this is something that I really want you to comment on, Michael, because I mean, whether it be Jackie and Billy meeting in your living room, or James running into you in Calgary after all those years, the story we heard earlier, so many things that we can talk about that seem like Carrie. Miller was talking about it last week, about the things that seem like they have an imprint of God on it. People say it this way, that everything happens for a reason. We don't agree with that statement, do we?
No, far from it. It really is probably one of the strongest signs of an external expression of spirituality, trying to validate the events in our lives by saying that there's some spiritual implication that, you know, that they came there. Even people who don't necessarily believe, quote, in God will make that statement. And it's a way of trying to help the brain organize life and you know, really kind of organize the mess. But
right, and it's the mess that Matt referenced. I mean, it listen, folks, it's a mess. There's no doubt about it. The whole thing is a mess. And the only thing that brings order, or as James said earlier, Michael, a sense of calm and patience in the middle of assault is the gospel. Even people, you know, obviously the vast majority of humanity right now has no clue about the gospel, but even any sense of order in the middle of this mess, in the middle of this chaos, is, in our opinion, evidence of gospel being in people's heart, still affecting their minds, even though they don't know it.
Yeah, and of course, the first thing that addresses the issue of the mess is that's just life, you know, and how you deal with the mess. You're not going to get rid of the mess. The issue about the gospel is how you deal with the mess. And are you able to be at peace with this whole thing called life, which life itself is a mess. You can't get around that. But being at peace with it, and then how you respond to it, is the whole gospel issue. Is that what we have, what we're equipped with to deal with the mess.
This is Glenn Klein Online. We are about to wrap things up here on a Wednesday night, but we are happy to report that Matt Perry is back with us. Matt?
Yeah, yes, I am.
Where did you go?
I didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
But as far as your perception is concerned, I had a little social anxiety mental blip.
That's fair enough, and much appreciated, bro. What is your title? I know you do have a title here in the Gospel Revolution.
Well, it's kind of confidential, but since you're asking directly, that's my in my clause to disclose it, and it is the covert street ops coordinator.
All right, the co-op street coordinator.
And then you might be reflecting exactly as I said, but covert street ops coordinator.
No, I was not reflecting as you said. You said it correctly. I did not,
well,
my friend.
That's what my boss is telling me to tell you. So.
Are you
both up, right?
Are you at work right now?
I don't sleep. Yeah. Oh.
You what? Oh, he's breaking up again. All right, Matt, call me back after I get off the air. I want to talk to you.
Love you, Matt.
There goes Matt Perry, breaking up from Georgia or wherever he is. We love that, man.
We sure do.
We had such a good time at the second summit in Tampa with him and with a number of other. We had about 25, 26 people.
Yeah, we did.
At the second summit, including the Kolbs. And Carla was there. You even got to meet Sean.
Yeah, I did. And Mary Lou and Mary Lou.
No, Mary Lou. And,
oh, yeah, Mary Lou Kustra
and Mary Kustra. Yeah, the Kustra girl. So many people were there. You guys, you can hear the entire conference, the entire summit. You can download it at gospelrevolution.com. And if you need help how to do that and downloading things, excuse me, on your iPod, pardon me. As James Gustafson said, he downloaded the webcast from 2 weeks ago. Michael, he listened to it 15 times.
Yeah.
The amazing thing is there are many people within the sound of our voices right now that can relate to that. Why would that be? Why can you listen to 1 hour and 15 minute message over and over and over again when it's about the gospel?
Well, as is reported, I remember Chris Harrington telling us he listened to one CD 75 times, and it has always baffled me. I don't normally go around listening to my own recorded material, but if the enjoyment that I get out of hearing the commercials is any sign, I love hearing them every time. And I guess it's a good indication that listening to my own CDs would probably be a good thing. I think I did that once. But
Wait, dude. You looked at a video of yourself that is on the homepage at gospelrevolution.com. Only to see how you looked.
I want to make sure I look good.
Many moons ago, and then you mistakenly continued listening. And
I
all
couldn't
this,
get away from it.
Yeah, you got saved, didn't you?
It was the best stuff I've ever heard. I was like, my gosh. And because I remember doing the meeting, and I was not particularly pleased with the outcome of that meeting. It didn't feel as though I had done anything that was particularly impressive. And I was going to listen to it. I wanted to look and see if I looked good, but I also wanted to listen to it because I was probably going to tell Jeff to take it down was my, other motive for listening to it, because I just didn't want anything boring on the website. And I remembered particularly just not enjoying doing that. And I'm telling you, I've listened several times since then, so.
Well, and not only that, Randy French was also at the second summit, who produced that video. He wasn't happy with the quality of the production. I remember talking to him last fall. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something, folks. You watch that video at gospelrevolution.com, and there's all kinds of stuff available on YouTube and everything for free. You'll get saved. And I think it's important to remind the folks, Michael, that when you logged on for those reasons to check out the video, you were not a happy camper. You were not in a good mood at that moment. Remember?
I don't remember, no.
Yeah, you told the story even on the webcast.
I remember something about it. I don't remember why.
Right, but I don't remember exactly why either. But you were in a particularly torqued-off moment. And you noticed that after you watched this thing for about 45 minutes
hour. Oh, yes, I do.
You felt who you are.
It was amazing. It was like all of that particular conflict at that moment that I was having to face. It evaporated into thin air. It was gone. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this stuff does save the soul. And so, you know, I'm learning the ropes here, too, with everybody else.
You guys, we cannot recommend the gospel enough. However it comes to you, however your brain hears it, whether it be through the videos that are online, a CD from Michael, a discussion that you have with your brother or your nephew and his wife, a discussion you have with a friend on the phone, listening to the webcast, going to Calgary for the upcoming Grace Conference, it doesn't make a difference how you get the gospel into your brain. You have to do nothing. You can't change yourself. You're already as whole and as perfect and as one as you could possibly be. You just need to discover it. This is a discovery.
Yeah.
This is a mission of discovery.
This is the Discovery Channel.
This is the Discovery Channel, ladies and gentlemen. And the thing is that the gospel will do everything else for you. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to make a resolution. You don't have to make a decision. You don't have to do squat. All you have to do is expose your brain to it. The way that Paul the Apostle said it, he said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he died and he was buried and he was raised on the third day, you will be saved. He wasn't talking, Michael, about being redeemed.
He had already confirmed in chapter 5 that everybody was redeemed. And he had already confirmed that Israel had been redeemed. And he was talking specifically to the nation of Israel when he was talking about to believe in the heart and confess with their mouth. That message, even in and of itself, was to the Jewish people, because that was chapter 10, and he said that he addressed the Jewish people in that chapter, and he said he could tell that they did not understand, because they were still going around trying to establish their own righteousness, and that they needed to be saved. So he establishes what saved is. He already established they were redeemed. He told the nation of Israel, you're redeemed, but you still need to be saved, because I can tell you do, because you're still going around trying to establish your own righteousness.
Right.
Then he addressed Israel as to how Israel is saved. And it was amazing. You know, they need to acknowledge and rehearse to go into the brain and for it to come out of their mouth that Jesus is Lord.
You guys, we can only report in retrospect what Paul meant by that. And you guys got to understand something. They were trying to figure out in those New Testament writings too. That's why they could attribute a death of Ananias and Sapphira to the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul the Apostle could have Timothy circumcised and talk about healings that came out of a handkerchief. They didn't know what was going on. All that stuff was a wrangling, a wrestling, a struggling through the transference and the shifting of economies. This is so important, and we're up against the clock, and we're going to talk about it a lot more, but it cannot be said strong enough that the way that God dealt with the human race, the perimeters that he was working within before the cross and before the resurrection and even the coming of the Holy Spirit, was completely different. It was an Old Testament. It was a different way of dealing with us. It's not happening that way anymore, and it has not happened that way for 2,000 years.
It's the only perimeter in which God worked. God does not work in this perimeter. Man works in this perimeter, on this side of the cross. God established a perimeter, completed a work, and delivered that work to the human race. He unified himself with man, created a new heaven, a new earth, and a new covenant, a new creation, and this is where we create, is within this perimeter. So the same as it is to add the law to grace, a drop of the blood of a goat to the blood of Jesus, it is the same to try to impose man into the scriptures or to impose God into this perimeter as far as doing things.
Right.
It's finished.
Right. Beyond the gospel, folks. God just left us alone? No. God did not leave us alone. He unified himself with us, us with him, ourselves with each other, ourselves within ourselves. He, as James was talking about at the top of the show, he imputed us with himself. You have been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. There's nothing more, but there's nothing less. Don't ever say that God left us alone. He literally made us one with the Holy Spirit. There's no separation between you and the Holy Spirit. You have all been imputed with righteousness and wisdom and sanctification and redemption. This is the key to this thing, and the purpose of the webcast, the purpose of the gospel revolution, and the talking about it and meditating is connecting what is already in your heart and everybody else's heart with your brain. That's it. If you haven't seen the last several posts and letters from Michael, please go to gospelrevolution.com. The most current one, called Senses That Make Sense, is on the home page. Everything's archived. The webcast is archived there. All the letters are archived there. There's so much good stuff. Share with us at the Facebook page at Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Mikey, thank you so much.
Thank you, Glenn, and thank you, everyone who has participated tonight, and just by way of listening. And this has been our first month after the pledge drive, and we have gone into this month with the realization of those committed pledges, and everybody came through with their pledges. And this month is much easier. Oh my gosh. Usually by this time of the month, the well was running dry, and we were waiting for the 25th of the month when we have others who contribute at that time. And at least it looks as though that this last pledge drive has put us in a much better situation. So we'll be doing more to spread the gospel.
That's what we do. The Minister of Finance, Howard Wirch in Manitoba, will be very happy to hear your report since he has embraced that title and is now on the homepage with that. We also want to thank fellow Canadian James Gustafson for calling in from Saskatchewan. And did I pronounce that right?
Saskatchewan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Saskatoon, right?
No, he's not in Saskatoon.
He's not in Saskatoon. Where is he?
He is down near Weyburn. It's the town has escaped me, but
that's quite all right. You're fine. Also, want to thank the poet laureate of the gospel. Oh, they have James, by the way, the parasite now the gospel revolution.
Yeah.
The poet laureate called in, Jackie Barnard from now Wachuca City, Arizona, and Billy Thompson, who is the George Schultz. If you will, not the George Schultz. Who is the guy that drew peanuts?
Charles
Schultz. If she doesn't have a title yet, if you guys want to see what I'm talking about, Billy Thompson drew an incredible cartoon based on the First Gospel Revolution Summit in Houston, which is available at the website. And also, Mr. Matt Perry, and I will not even try to repeat his co-op. Not co-op. What did he call it?
Covert.
Yeah, covert operation situation for calling in as well. Thanks to Jeff Robertson for everything that he is doing and has done, and to Sean O'Halloran for being the producer and call screener and engineer extraordinaire of the Gospel Revolution. I get to say goodnight and to say that I am on my way home for some wonderful tea and honey. I'm sure Carla has it on the stove as we speak, since we're over time. Until next week and next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!